Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We're still in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. I hope people are still in the beginning of the Perek. Not sure where everyone's holding, but I guess we'll touch base sooner or later and all catch up to each other. So the Gemara at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, as well as the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Ches. The same Gemara appears in both places. Hi, Rav Meir Omer. For those who are on Daf Vav, I'll just chazer for you. So the Gemara says, Rav Meir used to say, Minayin shafilo adu kachavim osik b'tashu kakoyin gadol, says the Gemara, how do I know that if you have an Oved kachavim that's osik b'Torah, how do you know that he also has the status of a kohen gadol? We just started. You're not late. So how do you know that even an Oved kachavim that learns Torah is dino kakoyin gadol? Tamil Omer, the Pasuk says, asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bohem. Kohanim levim v'yisraelim lo nemar. Doesn't say if Kohanim levim v'yisraelim learn, then they're going to have a chai bahem. No, it says, Ela ha'adam, it says, Asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chai bahem. Halamadata says the Gemara, you see from here, Sha'afilu av kachav ma'isik b'Torah, even if you have a non-Jew who spends time studying Torah, Harehu kakoyin gadol, he also acquires this elevated status of being a kohen gadol. So if you stop here, you stop at our Gemara, you'll say, sounds like it's a good thing for a Nachri to learn Torah, right? The Gemara is saying, if a Nachri spends his time learning Torah, he becomes even on the level of a Kohen Gadol. So let's stop here, and it sounds like it's a good idea. However, the problem is, as Tosis points out in our sugya, but you have to look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes to get the real crux of what Tosis is asking. Says the Gemara there in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nachri shosik b'Torah, chayiv misa, zok the Gemara. If you have a Nachri who's osik b'Torah, he's chayiv misa. Why is that? Shenemar. Torah tziva lanu Moshe marasha kihilas Yaakov, says the Gemara, lanu marasha, the Torah was given to us as a Yerusha, was given to us to enjoy, was given to us to use, v'lo lahem, the Torah was not given over to the Umas HaOlam that they should enjoy it, that they should use it. So therefore, a Nachri that violates that principle of Torah tziva lanu Moshe marasha kihilas Yaakov is chayiv misa. That's what the Gemara says. It's interesting when the Rambam quotes the Din, the Rambam doesn't say chayiv misa, sounds clear. I'm sorry, the Rambam, what's even more interesting is the Rambam doesn't even quote the Din at all. The Rambam, we're only Medayik in the Rambam, the Rambam has it in Hilchas Avadim, the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to teach your Eved Torah, so it's a Kavach Chomer, you're not allowed to teach a Nachri Torah, an Eved who's a quasi Yisrael, still you're not allowed to teach him Torah, so Nachri for sure. Okay, leave that aside for a minute. But Frekti Gemara Kasha, V'lich Shiva Gabi Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, so we have Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach that the Umas Olam have to keep. So ask the Gemara Kasha. If you're telling me Nachri she'asek b'Torah is chayiv misa, so why shouldn't that be in the list of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach? We should have eight mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Stam zakasha the Acharonim asks, why do we call them Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach? Some of them are given to other Marishon already. So why is it b'nei Noach? It should be Sheva Mitzvahs. Some of them were Noach and some of them were before Noach. Okay. Anyway, interesting. Not for now. But anyway, the Gemara says, yes, this din of a Nachri is not allowed to learn Torah. We learn it out from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Either because, Manda Amar Marasha, if you say the reason why a Nachri is not allowed to learn Torah is because Torah Tziva Lana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov, Migzil Kol Gazula. So we assume that he's a Ganav, he's a Gazlan, he's stealing. Why? Because it belongs to us. You go and you steal my Yerusha, so you're a Gazlan. So part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is you're not allowed to steal. So Mela, it's already included in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Achrenim Asker Kasha there in Sanhedrin, the Yavitz and others, what do you mean? The Gemara says in Baba Kama Dafayin Tes, Vayigzol Asachanis Miyana Mitzri. In order to be called a Gazlan, you have to actually take something away. That's Midi Dechasre. It means the other person loses something and I gain. That's when you're called a Gazlan. So over here, how can the Gemara call them Gazlanim when you learn Torah? It doesn't take away from my learning Torah. There's a big Torah out there. All of us can learn the same Torah. It doesn't take away if one person learns, or if 100 people learn. So how can the Gemara say that included in the Isser of Lo Sigzo for the non-Jew is that he's not allowed to learn Torah? What do you mean? That's not the definition of Gzela, is you have to make somebody lose something that he has. It doesn't take away from us if he gets him out. So that's an interesting Kasha. The Netziv deals with it also, but the Yavitz over there has an interesting Teretz. And the Gemara says, either you'll say it's Bechlal Gzela, or you'll say Marasha Kilas Yaakov is also Milasha Mu'urasa, like we're engaged to the Torah, we're married to the Torah. So if somebody goes ahead and is Mezana with an Eishas Ish, that's part of the din of Ishus. B'nai Noach also have a din of Ishus. They're not allowed to act improperly with impropriety. So too over here, we assume that if a Nachri goes ahead and, so to speak, steals our Eishas Ish, steals our wife, takes away the Torah from us, we assume that he violates the Isser of Nara Murasa, and that's already part of the dinim of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. That's what the Gemara says. Meis, they ask the Gemara, obvious kasha. We have a Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, Shayasa Osa Ha'adam Mechaibahem, that Nachrish Osa Batar is Afilu, he's like a Kohen Gadol. So how can you say he's like a Kohen Gadol? Aye, it says that a Nachrish Osa Batar is Chai Misa. So how do you jive these two Gemaras? We have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Baba Kama that says that it's Gevaldik for a Nachri to learn Torah. He's like a Kohen Gadol. We have a Gemara over there in Sanhedrin that says Nachrish Osa Batar is Chai Misa. Answers the Gemara. So Tosis in our sugya only quotes the Kitzer version. Tosis only writes, yeah, we're talking about Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, but to understand where Tosis Kasha comes from, you have to understand that Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the answer is that Tosis gives over here, that the Rashba, all the Rishonim give, is that we're talking about the Sheva Mitzvah Dedu, which means, when does our Gemara say that a Nachri Sha'asik Batara is like a Kohen Gadol? That's talking about when he sits and he learns with Hasmada the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. But if he goes ahead and learns the mitzvahs that are relevant only to us, that we're going to assume he's going to be chayiv misa for violating the din of morasha lahem velo lanu velo lahem. That's what Tosis answers. Now, what exactly is included in the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach? Not so simple. You'll say, well, some of the things are pretty easy, but what about, take one example, it's just a very famous example, and so we're going to mention it, but one example that's a very important machlokes to know is the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam writes, when he talks about, in Hilchas Malachim, when he talks about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so he says, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that they were in Itztaba in keeping is the Din of Dinim, which means they have to set up courts of law. Says the Rambam as follows, this is Lashon. Keitzad Mitzuvim Heim Al HaDinim. What does it mean when we assume that the Nachrim have a Din, that they have to set up a court system? It means, Chayavim Lahoshev Dayanim Mishoftim Mechol Plachu Plach Ladim Mishesh Mitzvahs Elu. It means that they have to set up a court system, they have to set up judges, they have to set up policemen that are going to make sure that everybody sticks to the other Sheish Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The seventh one is Dinim, so that means we have to make a court of law. Ulahazir Asa'am, and then it means that if a person violates one of the Sheish Mitzvahs B'nai Noach other than Dinim, so these policemen and this judicial system has to go after them, that's the Sivui of Dinim. And the Ramban on Chumash famously disagrees. The Ramban on Parashat Vayishlach, it's also in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Also, the Ramban writes in two places that, no, I don't agree with the Rambam's definition of dinim. The Rambam says, what does it mean that the Nachrim have to set up a court of law? It means they have to set up a judicial system that everyone should keep to the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach that they were given. Says the Ramban, no, you know what it means to set up a court of law? Not just that, but it means this court of law has to enforce all the dinim of Chesh Mishpah that we believe in. So the Nachrim have to follow our judicial system. That's what the Ramban says. And the Ramban says, this is why the Nachrim have to follow the dinim of Mekach u'Memkar, of Malviv Aloive, of Ona, of Gneva, of Anasim Efata, of Avos Nezikin. They are responsible to follow the same rules that we follow in Chesh Mishpah. They have to follow as well, and that's all under the rubric of dinim. Well, if you assume like that, it makes a major nafkamina. Over here again, the Rishonim ask, Astira, our Gemara says, it's amazing. The other Gemara says, Nachrish Osa Batar is Chayiv Misa. Says the Gemara, what's the Teretz? How are you Miyashav with two Gemaras? You'll say, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Mutter. Well, how far does Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach go? Does it only mean that I'm allowed to teach them, or that they're allowed to learn only the very limited part of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that we think? Or does it mean, like the Ramban says, that they're allowed to learn Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, which includes all of Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basar, we could teach them everything, because they also have to know about Mekach u'Memkar, they have to know about all of Chesh Mishpah the way we know Chesh Mishpah. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to say that the Rambam would hold that this goes under the category of Gzela?
So very good. So the Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that no, really the Rambam doesn't agree with the Ramban. Just the Rambam holds when the Torah was Metzavah them in Dinim, that's one halacha. Dinim means you have to stick to the rules of setting up a judicial system, having a police force. Outside of Dinim, the Chassam Sofer explains to the Rambam exactly what you're saying. Outside of Dinim, Zak the Chassam Sofer, the Rambam means to say that part of Gezel is Mekach u'Memkar, Ona, Malva v'Loive, Avos Nezikin. That's all under the category of Gzela. So that's an interesting point that you make. What's the din? Let's say I see a Nachri that's violating one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So am I mechuyev to go and tell him, Hocheach tochiach hasam isecha? So Pashtus is not. Why? Because the Gemara says, Hocheach tochiach hasam isecha. Rashi darshins on that pasuk in Sanhedrin, that find, hey, Rashi writes, Hocheach tochiach hasam isecha, v'lo asar ger toshav. Why? Pashtus is, what does Rashi mean? Why are you not mechuyev to give tochacha to a ger toshav if you see he's violating the din? Because the whole din of tochacha is midin arvus, that I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me. That only applies in the Jewish people. Kol Yisrael Arayim Zebazeh. When you have a Ger Tosha, who's not really a Jew, so we assume that you're not mechuyev to go after him and be mochiachim. So Pashtus, I would say, by a Nachri also, if he's violating the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, I wouldn't have to go and give him Tochacha, because he's not part of the din of Arvis of Klal Yisrael. However, just an interesting Sefer Chassidim that the Achronim bring, Zok the Sefer Chassidim, Imra Adam Nachri Ose Aveira, if I see a non-Jew doing an Aveira, Im Yachal Limchos Yimche, if I'm able to, obviously if I'm afraid for my life, I don't have to, but if I'm able to, I should give him Tochacha, Shaharei, he brings Araya, Shaharei Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yonah LeNinveh LaHashivam. Yonah was sent on a mission to go and tell the Anshei Ninveh that they should be shoved with tshuva. Anshei Ninveh were not Jews. So what do you mean? What's in my business? Let them go and do what they want. Why does Yonah have to get involved with the Anshei Ninveh? They're not Jewish people. Zak the Sefer Hasidim, you see a raya that obviously there's a din hocheach tochiach even when we're dealing with somebody who's not a Yisrael. So this is all with regard to the din of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And again, the Rishonim give a teretz. How do you understand our Gemara together with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? The answer is, the Nachrim are not allowed to learn anything outside of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but anything within the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they are allowed to learn, and in fact, they're encouraged to learn to make sure they know how to lead their own lives. If you wouldn't have had this Teretz of the Gemara, obviously we have it, but it's an interesting answer you could have given. The Medrash also quotes the same drasha that our Gemara has. Asher yasa osa adam v'chai bahem, zok the Medrash, ha'adam, it says, kohanim levim Yisraelim lo ne'amar, ela ha'adam. So it has the same drasha as our Gemara. But then the Medrash ends off with a line that's a little bit different than our Gemara. Listen carefully. Melamed zok the Medrash, sha'afilu ovid kochavim ha'misgayer va'osik batara, ha'reu kekohen gadol. Well, that's a major difference. Our Gemara says you learn from this pasuk. Kohanim levim Yisraelim lo ne'amar, ela ha'adam, which means everybody, that means everyone has equal opportunity to learn. So the Gemara is bothered. What do you mean? How can you say that a non-Jew has an opportunity to learn Torah? Don't we know? Nachri she'osek b'Torah chayiv misa. Zok the Medrash, you know what the answer to the kasha is? Not like the Gemara says. The Medrash says, the answer is, melame shafilu ovid kochav mamizgayer. You should know. Don't feel that you're at a loss just because you're a ger. Don't think you're behind everybody else. No. A nachri she'osek b'Torah, after he's megayer, he can raise himself up to become like a kohen gadol as well. And that's, once you say that, so then the kasha obviously falls away. If you have a gersa like the Medrash has, then there would be no kasha at all. Be it as it may, Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, what's a pshat in our Gemara when the Gemara says, Asher yasa osa adam v'chai bahem? So therefore what? So how do you see anything from that drasha? Again, the Gemara is trying to prove, how do you know that a nachri is allowed to be yosef b'Torah? Says the Gemara, Asher yasa osa adam v'chai bahem. Yeah, so therefore. So he explains as follows. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a psikta, where he says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu chafetz ba'avodasim shel rishayim." The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want that the rishayim should be destroyed in the world, right? Like by Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Ma'aseh Yad Tov Me'am Ve'atam Amrim Shira. What's the tiny? What do you mean? These are the Mitzrayim, the terrible people. Answer is even rishayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not so happy when rishayim are destroyed. Va'afilu shel akum zok de psikta. Even when you have non-Jewish rishayim, they're terrible people, but still the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want them to be destroyed. Why? Shehakol brios and ma'aseh yadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because after all, who created them? Ribbono Shel Olam created them. It's hard for me to see, kabayachol, it's hard for me to see that my creations are being destroyed. And zok de psikta. V'chi ezu yotzer klicheres mevakeh sheyishtabru kankanov. Imagine I'm a manufacturer, and every day, as I'm walking out of the office, I'm going to go, and one of my workers is going to, I'm going to watch him go with a baseball bat and smash all the things that we made today. What, do you think I'm going to keep the guy? I'm going to be furious at him. What does that mean? I don't want that anything should be destroyed. If I'm spending money, if I'm spending time creating something, I don't want it to be destroyed. So too says the psikta, kivin shehakadosh baruch hu chafetz b'chiyut shelahem, since the Ribbono Shel Olam originally wanted that they should be created, after all, he did create them, so therefore, harei mechlal asher yasa osa ha'adam v'chai b'hem. If the Ribbono Shel Olam made them, then v'chai b'hem. We have a responsibility to make sure that they have a continuation in this world. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, that's the pshat. This is why they're supposed to learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, in order that they should be able to live in this world. So based on this, Rabbi Yosef Engel, just a gishmak avort, based on this, Rabbi Yosef Engel takes it one step further, and he says, we have a Gemara in Sukkah. For those who learn Sukkah and get to the end, so the Gemara has in Daf Nun Beis, the last stop in Sukkah, Abba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mischar Talei Mechol Yom. There are four things in the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, so to speak, that he created. He has Charata. Why did I create these things? So it says Galus. The Ribbono Shel Olam is upset. Why did I send the Jewish people into Galus? I shouldn't have done that. Okay, whatever it means. Kazdim Yishma'elim Yetzahara. Kazdim and Yishma'elim are the Arabs, and the Kazdim are, not sure who they are. So the Gemara says, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, it would have been better if I wouldn't have created them. He had harata, so to speak, that he did it. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. If the Rebbeinu Shalom himself had harata for creating them, so then they are not allowed to learn the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Why? Because he says, the whole heter, the whole lima that the Gemara has, asher yasa osa adam v'chaibam, what's the whole heter? He says it's based on the psikta. What does the psikta say? Because which person who creates something wants it to be destroyed? I would never want such a thing. If I spend time, if I spend energy creating something, I want to make sure it has a kiyum. Well, Zarka B'Yosef Engel, with the Rebbeinu Shalom himself says, I didn't want these people here. I don't want the Kazdim and Yishmaelim. I would rather them not be here. Well, M. Cain, he wants to be Mechadish, then they're not allowed to learn the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, and they revert back to the din of Nachri Shasa B'Torah's Chayiv Misa. Okay? Chiddush, when you come across a Yishmaeli who asks you to teach him Torah, I guess we'll deal with it then. But until then, Stam, it's just an interesting point, interesting Chiddush. We have another Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara says something which seems to also play into our Sugya here. Amar Avami, Ein Mosun Divrei Torah LeNachri. I am not allowed to give over, I'm not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Right? Sounds very much connected. Shenemar, how do I know that? So I should have said what? What should have been the mucker? How do I know I'm not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew? What? Marosha Kilis Yaakov, or the Gemara should have said Lifneiver, if we know that it Akumsha Asabataras Chai Misa, so you say it's Lifneiver, I'm setting him up for a disaster. The Gemara there, no. The Gemara there says, we learn it from a new pasuk. Lo asa chen l'chal goyim mishpatim mal yudon. A nachri is not allowed to learn Torah. How do I know I'm not allowed to teach a nachri Torah? Because mishpatim mal yudon. The mishpatim that are made for us are not for them. And therefore, I don't have a right to go ahead and teach the nachri Torah. So the kasha is, Tosis asked the kasha. We have a Gemara here that says, very explicitly, that a nachri shasa b'Torah is chayiv misa. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. How do we know that? From Harosh Akilas Yaakov. What's the Gemara says? Either it's Gezel, or it's Nar Murasa, or you'll say it's Lifneiver, but whatever it is, of course I'm not allowed to teach a Nachri Torah. The Gemara already darshans some other psukim that a Nachri is not allowed to learn Torah, so why do I need a new pasuk here, Mishpatim Bayudam, to say that you're not allowed to teach a Nachri Torah? That's the kasha Tosis has, and Tosis has it by us as well. So, Tosis answers as follows. Tosis says, pay attention to the Lashon V'yesh Lomar. Daha Chamayri B'medayik in the Lashon. Over here we're talking about a case. Talking about a case where you have an opportunity that the Nachri wants to learn Torah. And the Nachri can just as well hire another Nachri to teach him Torah. He can go to there are many non-Jews who know the Torah very well. He can go to another Nachri, it says, and teach him Torah. Now, instead of going to the other Nachri, he comes to me and he says, I'll pay you to be my chavrusa. So he wants me to teach him Torah. Says the Tosfos, in such a case, there's no Lifneiver. Why? Tosfos says, because that's like Trei Iver Dinahara. We'll get to the sugi of Lifneiver shortly, but one of the major yesodas that you have to know for Lifneiver is, only when it's Chad Iver Dinahara is it going to be Mutter. When it's Trei Iver Dinahara, it's Asur. I said it wrong just now, so when you have, over here, if you have a Nachri, who would have been able to hire another non-Jew to go and teach him, and instead he goes ahead and he hires me, so since that's like Chad Iver D'Nahara, he could have done it on his own. He didn't need me to do it because he could have hired a non-Jew to learn with him. And instead he comes to hire me. So Tosfos says there's no Lifnei Iver in such a case. So that's why we have to come onto a new pasuk that says, Mishpatim Bayidom, that you're still not allowed to teach him Torah. We have a new pasuk that tells you, even when Marash Akilas Yaakov doesn't apply, and even when Lifnei Iver doesn't apply, still we're going to say that Mishpatim Bayidom plays a factor. Now there's an extremely, yeah. Why doesn't Marash Akilas Yaakov apply there? Well, that's not my Isser, that's his Isser. His Isser is to be over on Gezel, his Isser is to be over on Nar Marasa. For me to teach him would be Lifneiver, that I'm setting him up for a disaster. But, says Tosis, there's no Lifneiver in such a case, because he could do it in a different way. He doesn't need me to violate the Isser. So there's a very critical Mishnah Melech on this point. This is a famous Mishnah Melech, and Moshe talks about it also. Mishnah Melech is Medayik, he says, we know the halacha is in Hilchas Ribbis. What's the din if I have a malva and a lova? I have a bank that lends out money, and they lend out money by Ribbis. That's what all the banks do. So let's say it happens often, you have a Jewish owner of a bank. So what happens, he's lending money by Ribbis. So you say, it's not my problem, I need a mortgage on my house. He's going to charge me interest on the mortgage. What can I do? I need a mortgage, it's his problem. No. So we paskin la halacha, not only is it an isser on the person who borrows money by Ribbis, it's an isser on the person... I'm sorry, not only is there an isser on the person who lends the money, Beribis, there's an isser on the person who borrows as well. If I know from the outset that the person's going to charge me ribbis for the loan that I'm taking out, I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Asitem Michshol. Why? Because I'm setting him up for a disaster. Now, Mishnah Melech says there are some achronim who say as follows. Let's say I'm dealing with a bank and I want to take out a mortgage. What do they care if I take out a mortgage from them or not? They're going to lend out the money beribis regardless. Even if I don't go to them, they're going to lend out the money either. They're going to lend it beribis to me. They're going to lend beribis to somebody else. So the Mishnah Melech quotes some achronim that wanted to say, that's like chad ever dinahara. What do you mean? I'm not doing anything wrong. They could just have easily, and they will, they'll lend out the money to somebody else beribis. I happen to be the customer who stepped up and said, I want to take out a loan from you. Okay, that's not Lifnei Iver. That's what someone on Bimadaik. The Mishnah Lamelech says, I think you're wrong. Why? Because the Mishnah Lamelech says, if you're Madaik in the Lashon of Taisus and Arsugya, you see a very important Yesod, which will travel with us when we learn Lifnei Iver. And that is, why does Taisus write the Lashon? Afilu Heicha De'ika Ovid Kachavim Acher Sherotze Lalamdo. Even when I have another non-Jew that wants to teach him, I'm still not allowed to teach him. Why Tosfos give that example of even when you have another non-Jew who wants to teach him? Why didn't he say, even when there's another Jew who would be willing to teach him Torah? Again, you have a Nachri who gets up, and he puts out an ad in the paper, and he says, I'm looking for a Jewish chavrusa, willing to pay $1,000 an hour. No? So people are going to be clamoring to learn with him. So I'm the smart guy who happens to jump and say, oh, I want to learn with him. So you say, it's not Lifnei Iver. Why? Because if I wouldn't have taken it, so there's another smart yeshiva guy who would have taken it, right? No? Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says specifically, he would have been able to find another Akum that he could have hired to learn with him. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, if the option is for two people to violate an Isser, and either the Isser is going to be violated by me, Jew number one, or by Jew number two, so then Tosfos says, you have no right to do it. That's not called Chad Iver Dinahara, that's Trey Iver Dinahara. I'm helping him via an Isser, because the other way he would have done it would have also been an Isser. So Tosfos says, that's what the Mishnah Lamelech is Medayik in Tosfos, that you can't say the only time it would have been mutter and not in violation of Lifnei Iver is if there would have been an option for a Nachri to go ahead and teach him Torah. If there would have been an option for a Nachri to hire a Nachri to teach him Torah, and now instead of the Nachri, he hires me, so then we assume you're not in violation of Lifnei Iver. But if there's no other option for a Nachri, the only other option is another Yisrael, so that I don't have a right to go ahead and do it. And that would play into the case of the Mishnah Lamelech talks about borrowing the money also. When you have a bank, and they're going to lend to a Yisrael Beribis, so that's an Isser. So you're going to say, well, what's the problem? Either going to lend to me, or they're going to lend to another Yisrael. No! Says the Mishnah Lamelech, you are in violation of an Isser in such a case of Lifnei Iver. Why? Because that's called Trei Iver Dinahara. You can't say that if he would have done it with the other guy, he wouldn't have violated an Isser. Of course he would have violated an Isser. If he would have done it with Mr. A, you would have violated an Isser. If you would have done it with Mr. B, you also would have violated an Isser. So therefore we assume, in a case like that, Zuck the Mishnah Lamelech, that would be still a violation of Lifnei Iver, and the Raya for his whole Yisod is from our Tosfos. The Stechemed talks about that Diak in Tosfos, whether it's a good Diak or not. It's up for debate in the Achronim, but the Pashtus is we hold like that. So let's say, take for example, a practical example. We're not really in the Sugi of Lifnei Iver, but just take a simple example. Some Achronim talk about, let's say, I have a clothing store. And I sell women's clothing that's totally not appropriate, right? So I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver. So you say, well, I'm not in violation. They could just as well go to another store down the block that's selling the same clothing as I'm selling. So what's my problem, right? That's Chad Iver Dinahara. They have a choice either to shop in my store or to shop in their store. Well, if my store is 50% cheaper, so then we're not talking about that. We're talking where both stores are the same price, basically. And they either have a choice to shop in my store or to shop in someone else's. So what would you say in such a case? Well, maybe that's Chad Iver Dinahara. No, the Achronim say that's not Chad Iver Dinahara. You are in violation of Lifnei Iver. Why? Because if the only other option is to go to a Jewish-owned store and to violate the Isser by them, so then that's also going to be a problem of Lifnei Iver. The only time you get out of Lifnei Iver is a scenario when the other option is Heter Gomer, like to go to a Nachri, to buy the clothing in a Nachri store, and instead they're coming to my store, so that would be... that would get you out of the problem of Lifnei Iver. Yeah.
Is the Isser for the borrower by Ribis a problem with Lifnei Iver, or he's included also in the Isser for Ribis? It's a separate Isser for the borrower also.
I think we assume that it's a problem of Lifnei Iver. Yeah, that's. I think that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, so this is with regard to a Nachri learning Torah, and how do we understand this din of Mishpatim Ba'idom? How does that play in? Again, Tosfos Kasha was, why do we need a new pasuk of Mishpatim Ha'idom? We already have the din al-tikr marosha al-murasa. So Tosfos answers, we're talking about a case where there's no violation of Lifnei Iver, because there's another Akum who is willing to learn with the Nachri, and instead he goes ahead to you, still says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do it because of Mishpatim Ayidom. Now, which Chalakim of the Torah are included in this Isser of not teaching a Goy Torah? Which part of the Torah do we assume is included? So the Magen Avraham, the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Shulta Gibarim write, it's only Torah's Moshe Mitzvah Seash and Utztavu Baham Yisrael. It's only to teach him Torah Shavachsav. However, to teach Nevi'im Uksuvim, Zakti Shulta Gibarim, Nir Be'enai Shemutur Lalamdo. This is Shulta Gibarim Sanhedrin. We assume that you would be allowed to teach the Nachri Nevi'im Uksuvim. Listen what he says. Shero Baham Nechamas Amurim LeYisrael. V'chashuvos Utshuvos Sheroi Laham and LaPikursim. He says Nevi'im Uksuvim could be a real Musar Shmuz for the Nachri. So therefore, Zakta Magen Avram, Zakta Shilta Gibram, you would be allowed to teach the non-Jew Nevi Muksuvim. You're just not allowed to teach him Torah Shebechsav. Rav Moshe Netshuva says the complete opposite extreme. Rav Moshe Netshuva writes, I think the only Isser is in one direction. Let's look. Rav Moshe says as follows. Yesh makam lechalik bin Torah Shebechsav the Torah Shebal Peh. And he points out as follows. Rav Moshe says, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, what does it say? Be'eres HaTorah Azos. The Gemara Darshan's in Masech HaSotu Daf Lamed Hei, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah B'Shivim Lashem when he came into Eretz Yisrael. So what are you writing the Torah B'Shivim Lashem when he came into Eretz Yisrael? The non-Jews are not allowed to read it. So why am I writing it in so many Lashonos? Says Rav Moshe, it must be that there's no Isser to teach the non-Jews Torah Shebechsav. Because if there was an Isser to teach non-Jews Torah Shebechsav, why would Moshe Rabbeinu write the Torah in a Lashon that all the other Umas HaOlam can understand? Right? Does that make sense? So Rav Moshe says, it must be, you see from here, it must be, that the only Isser is to teach them Torah Shebal Peh. And Rav Moshe vacillates, he goes back and forth, the Achronim have a big discussion, the Stechemin has a long arichas on this, way before Rav Moshe, whether or not we should assume that this din of not teaching a non-Jew Torah applies only to Torah Shebechsav, or does it apply only to Torah Shebal Peh? Maybe it applies to both, and if it applies to Torah Shebechsav, how do you explain the story with Moshe Rabbeinu writing the Torah in Shivim Lashon? Yeah.
The first opinion was that all Bechtar are only Torah.
Right, so the Shulta Gibarim writes it's only Torah Shebechsav, the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, but Nevi'im Uksuvim not, because he says there's a lot of different Musar that the non-Jew can learn from the Nevi'im Uksuvim. And Rav Moshe goes on to explain that, and then Stechemed quotes a lot of Achronim that say in both directions, not so clear, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like Dalid, that somebody that learns Torah, an idol worshiper, could be considered like a Kohen Gadol. So wouldn't that, I forgot what proof they brought.
Right, that's the way we started this year with that whole discussion. So we'll connect afterward. I'll fill you in. So what in fact is the reason? So why is it, that's no problem, why is it that we assume that a Nachri Shasei B'Torah is Chayim Misa? Why do we assume they're not allowed to? So I always thought the reason why is because if you have something that's only given to the Jewish people, like the Gemara says, it's Gezel. What right does he have to get involved? Or it's like Eshes Ish. What right does he have to get involved? It's like our wife, and he's going ahead and violating adultery. He's going ahead and taking our wives away from us. That's what I always understood the Pshat was. The Meiri in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes, I just happened to see it today, the Meiri in Sanhedrin has a peladig pshat, totally different pshat. Says the Meiri, you know what the problem is? If the guy is going to go and learn Torah, or if I'm going to teach him Torah, the problem is people are going to be fooled. People are going to think that he's really a Jewish person. And they're going to think, oh, he's such a learned person, let's go ask him shailas. And they're going to think, oh, he's such a learned person, let's go marry our daughters off to his kids. And we're going to become so confused because he's going to be learning Torah and he's going to be such a big Talmud Chacham. Therefore, the Gemara says, Akum Shasei B'Torah Chayiv Misa, don't get involved. You're not allowed to touch the Torah because we're concerned what it's going to lead to. It's a big Chiddush. The Pashas is not like that. The Pashas in the Gemara is, it's because Marasha Kilis Yaakov, it's because it belongs to us, and it's because Nara Marasa, it's like an Eshes Ish, and what right does the Torah have to get involved, and what right does the non-Jew have to get involved with our relationship with the Torah?
According to the Eri, you said Chayiv Misa is just a strong Lashon, but not necessarily Chayiv Misa.
Why?
Because we just think it's a strong, it's hard to make sure that you don't teach the guy Torah, not necessarily that. We just want to make sure that people don't teach him Torah, not that.
Right, so.
Chayiv Misa.
I don't know.
Seems to be more coming upon the Yid, not the teacher, rather than the guy learn.
Could be. I don't know. So this question comes up quite often, halacha l'maaseh. Rav Moshe has in a tshuva, in Chelek Avnei Ezer, Chelek Dalid, Rav Moshe talks about what happens if I'm a school teacher. I'm teaching in a yeshiva. It doesn't happen so often now because usually before they accept kids into yeshiva, they look into the yichus a little bit. But I think it happened in the times when Rav Moshe was writing the tshuva. It happened quite often. You had a lot of Russian olim, or you had a lot of intermarried people who were sending their kids to yeshiva day school, which was a very commendable thing for them to do. They didn't know a lot, and they didn't realize that if you're intermarried and the wife is not Jewish, the child is not a Jew either. They felt, we're living Jewish lifestyles, what does it matter? Or Rav Moshe describes what happened in that in the 1950s. He had a lot of people who were converting conservative conversions. Rav Moshe wrote in another tshuva that he holds, those conversions are batel and mevutel, they don't count for anything, and not even a Suffolk Jew, you're nothing. So Rav Moshe says, so what happens? I'm a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and I have kids in my class who are not Jewish. So what do? I'm not allowed to teach the Torah, I'm not allowed to give class today, because I know there's a kid sitting in the back whose mother isn't Jewish, what am I supposed to do? So the Rebbe asked Rav Moshe Shaila, what should I do? I know there are non-Jews in my class, and I don't know what to do because there's a din, mishpatim ayidom. Am I mechuyev to give up my parnasa? He asked Rav Moshe, because I'm in violation of an isur mishpatim ayidom each and every day. So Rav Moshe writes, hinei kasha lefanei lamer davar muchla. It's hard for me to say that you really have to give up your job. And he says, befrat, because the achronim really, the poskim, don't really talk so much about the hagdaris of this din. As we saw, the Magen Avram and other rishonim are not sure, what does it apply to? Only Torah Shebichsav, only Torah Shebalpeh. So Rav Moshe says, how can I tell you have to give up your parnasa if we don't even know what the parameters of the halacha even are? So Rav Moshe is very uncomfortable with that. Then he says, v'gam efsher, mikivan sheharav lo meid ha'ikir matalmidim sheim yisraelim ksherim. It's not like I'm teaching a whole class of goyim. I'm teaching a class of Jews. There happens to be a couple of kids in the back who might not be Jewish. So he says, since really my intention is to teach the Jewish kids, and it's not so much to go ahead and intentionally teach a non-Jew Torah, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to teach a class. I was hired to do a job. So he said, that's not a problem. Number three, says Rav Moshe. The Gemara says, Nachrisha asik b'Torah chayiv misa. It doesn't say Nachrisha lama Torah. So he says, what, you're teaching third grade, fourth grade? What are you concerned about? What, such a high level? You're giving such a pilpul shiur in fourth grade? No, you're teaching Aleph Beis. What are you doing? Teaching a pasuk in Chumash. You're not getting so into it. You're not explaining all the mefarshim, all the background. So Rav Moshe says, maybe that was never part of the Isser in the first place. It's only Nachri Sha'asik B'Torah. It's not a Nachri Shalama Torah. Okay? Therefore, Rav Moshe ends off in the tshuva and he says, I think, now this is surprising. Rav Moshe says, I think you should keep your job. However, he says, I think what you should do is, you should convince these kids, which is a pella that Rav Moshe actually thought this would work. I don't know. Maybe it did, but it sounds very hard for me to imagine that it actually worked. He says, you're a Rebbe in a class. You know what you should do? You should single out all those kids and convince them that they should go to mikveh under your auspices. And you'll be megar them. And Rav Moshe says, that's much easier to get away with than to make trouble about mishpatim ayidom. So I don't know which yeshivas he's talking about. But he says, v'zeh zakar Moshe, I don't know. It's just surprising. V'zeh, that's why I'm quoting his lashon. V'zeh zakar Moshe ani choshev she'askimu abalabatim. Don't worry, the parents will go for it. It's no problem. V'gam ha'gdolim ibnei yud gimel nami. If you have kids who are older than bar mitzvah, it's no problem. You can talk them into it. Em yomrim lahem shetzvichem lizgayir milios nachrim. If you explain to them that the reason why you're asking them to go to mikvah is because you want them to become geirim, that they shouldn't be non-Jews, vada yisratzu. There's no way that they won't say yes. Uvazet tzarach lishtadl. That's a very important thing for you to do, says Rav Moshe, to try to convince them to go to mikvah, because that's much easier to do. And obviously he says, kamuvan, lahazbir hadavar bo tovu menacha shevada yishmu lazet. Make sure when you try to convince them, say it in a nice way, talk to the parents nicely, because otherwise it's not going to work. Okay, I don't know, I find that hard to imagine that it actually ever worked, but Rav Moshe says that Be'ikaron, he holds that the halacha is you're not mechuyev to give up your job for this, because he has a couple of svaras to reason why you're not in violation of an issur d'oraisa. More surprising than that, there's a discussion that comes up much more often than Rav Moshe's case. Nowadays, generally, we don't have Rav Moshe Shaila so much, because the schools that we generally would teach in look into the yichus of the kids, and if they know that there's some question in the yichus, they'll try to get involved, either be megayer the child or not accept him. So the question is, a shaila that comes up a lot more often, and that is when you have a potential ger, a potential convert, and supposedly we would probably understand that you should probably teach the potential convert what he's going to have to know when they're megayer. So Reb Kiveger got a shaila from his grandson, what's the halach in such a case? Am I in violation of the din mishpatim b'yidom if I teach a potential ger the halachas, the mitzvahs of the Torah? A peladik shaila. Nowadays we have, every shul has classes for gerim. Now we get people ready for conversion. Then after a year or two, when they understand the mitzvahs, then we convert them. So Rabbi Akiva Eger got the shadah from his grandson. Gabi Arul Shabal is Geyer. We have a non-Jew in our committee in our community who came to be Megayer. Umevakesh lelamdo mikra v'seder atfila yom yom. He wants that I should teach him a couple of psukim in Chumash. He wants him I should teach him at a davin. So the grandson sends a shadah to his grandfather, Akiva Eger. Am I allowed to teach him? Or should I assume that that's part of the Isser of Mishpatim Ba'idom? Peladik, a question. So Rabbi Akiva Eger first quotes the Maharsha, where the Maharsha writes on the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, that a ger comes to Hillel and he says, Gai Reini Amanas, that I want to learn Kol HaTorah Kula Regalacha. So all the Torahs that are said there, but Lamai says, Akta Maharsha, how is he allowed to teach him? What do you mean? The guy's a non-Jew. Maharsha says, Pashut, because if the person has an intention to become a Jew, obviously he's not learning the Torah to steal it as a non-Jew. He's learning the Torah because he wants to know how to keep Yiddishkeit. He wants to know how to be a good Jew. So therefore, says the Maharsha, wouldn't apply in such a case because the person has intention to convert. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, Maharsha is not correct. He brings rayas why the Maharsha is not correct. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, he thinks he has rayas beferish to show that the Maharsha is not correct, and then he says, Elavadai de asr lelam de mikodem. The maskan of Rabbi Kivega's tshuva is, you're not allowed to teach them before you megaya them. V'yesh lidkos ksas al kalpanim. He says, maybe you can go back and forth. However, he says, I don't like what the Maharsha says. I hold, you're not allowed to. Ve'em bekochi lahatir. Bottom line, Zucker Bikiveger, I don't feel that there's a makam lahatir here at all. Chosancha ahuvcha akiva. This is the way he signs off the tshuva. You're not allowed to teach a potential convert before the Magai, which is such a pella. What do you mean? The Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin, Ger Shabala is Gair, we teach him mitzvahs kalas, mitzvahs chamuris. We ask him, are you ready to be mekabel leket shiklopei? How's he supposed to know what leket shiklopei is? We didn't teach him anything. The Gemara says, beferish, before Ger is Magair, we go through certain questions, we ask him, are you ready to do this, are you ready to do that? If he's never learned the Pasukim Chumash in his life, if he never went to a class, how's he supposed to know what any of these actually are? So that's a major kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eger. Obviously, the minhag seems to have developed not at all like Rabbi Akiva Eger. If we can just close with one last idea, and that is Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in another place in the Beis HaOitzer from the Maharsha, that the Maharsha points out, why is it that we find only by two mitzvahs, Nachri Shaser B'Torah Chayiv Misa, and Goy Shashavas is Chayiv Misa? Why do we find only these two mitzvahs? If a Nachri Yosef B'Torah number one, and if a Nachri keeps Shabbos, number two, he's Chayiv Misa. What about everything else? What if he decides, I want to put on tefillin? We don't say Chayiv Misa. So what's specific about these two? So the Maharsha gives his own answer, but Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, he thinks he has his own pshat as to why these two are singled out. And he writes because the whole idea of Talmud Torah and the whole idea of Shmira Shabbos are totally antithetical to everything that a Nachri stands for. Zakter Rabbi Yosef Engel, why is that? Because he says, these two were given b'tzino u'v'chashoy. The mitzvah of Shabbos and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah were given quietly and in private. Like the Gemara says in Beitzah, kol mitzvah shenasal lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasal lam mefarhesya, chutz mi Shabbos, shenasal lam b'tzino. The Gemara says, b'feirush, Shabbos, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a mara, it was quiet, he gave us a gift, and that's it, nobody heard about it, nobody knew. So that was given b'tzino. Number two, the Gemara says, by Torah, by Kabbalah Satorah, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lama nikra shma toshia? Why is the Torah called toshia? Mepnei shenidna b'chashoy, mepnei asatan. The Gemara says that the Torah was given in private because it was given mitzina. The first time the Luchas Rishonis Rashi writes on Chumash, Luchas Rishonis were given b'pumbi, it was given with a big fanfare, and because of that we lost it. There was an ayin hara that was sholeh, and we lost it. So therefore the second time the Ribbono Shel Olam came back and gave the Torah b'chashoy, he gave it privately. Says Rav Yosef Engel, Nachrim are all about fanfare, they want popularity, they want publicity, they want prominence, everything has to be, everyone has to hear about it, big deals. And therefore, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Shabbos, that's totally antithetical to everything that a Nachri stands for. They don't even understand what it means to have privacy, to have tzina, like Balak, this week's Parsha, right? We have Bilam says, Matov Alach Yaakov, the hallmark of the Jewish people is our area of tznius. Says, Maru de Gemaisa, with this we'll close, Geshmaka story about Rameir Shapiro. That Rameir Shapiro built a Lublini yeshiva. If anyone's ever been to Lublin, Chachmei Lublin, you see the yeshiva. It's mamash an unbelievable edifice, a beautiful building that they built there. And at the time, none of the yeshivas looked like that. Rameir Shapiro was going around raising money everywhere to try to put up this yeshiva. And then he decided he was going to put together a Chanukah Sabayas to celebrate the opening of the yeshiva. So he went around and he invited all the Gedolim of the time. And he said he wants everyone to come. Big Chanukah Sabayas, very exciting. And there was one Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Michurkov. I don't know so much about him, but he was one of the Gedolim at the time. So Rav Meir Shapiro, it's quoted in Rav Meir Shapiro's biography that Rav Meir Shapiro invited him as well to come. He was one of the Gedolim at the time, who lived close by, so he invited him to come to Chanukas HaBayis. So this Rebbe said back to him, I don't feel comfortable participating. I think everything you did here is inappropriate. He built a big yeshiva, and he did everything so, you know, flamboyant. Everything was so big, out of the water, he knocked the ball out. He said, it's not right. You should make a little more bitzina. Don't we know, Rashi says, that the Luchas Rishonos were destroyed because they were given bipumbi, they were given in public, and a Nayin Hara was sholed on them. So what are you doing? You're building a big yeshiva, make a big Chanukas HaBayis, make a big to-do about everything. What do you think? This is going to have a kiyum? It can't be. So Meir Shapiro answered him like this. The Ribbono Shel Olam knew at the outset that there was a possibility of an Ayin Hara being sholed and everything was going to fall apart. He obviously knew that. Asked Meir Shapiro back to him, so why did he do it in the first place? Why did he do it in the first place? When an Ayin Hara could be sholed, so what do you get involved? Why don't you do it quietly in the first place? Nobody should find out about it, and that's it. We'll leave it as is. Do it quietly. Said Meir Shapiro, because think about what the matzav of the world was at that time. Even the Jewish people themselves had just come out of Memtesh Shari Tumah. They were all the way at the bottom of the barrel. Everyone was of the Avodah Zarah. The whole world was upside down. Everything was terrible. The world was dark. The Ribbono Shel Olam had to come and pronounce to the world, the world is a different place. I'm giving the Jews the Torah, and even though I'm running the risk, so to speak, of an Ayin Hara being shalom, it's worth it. Why? Because sometimes you have to do something in a very pronounced fashion, even though we're a nation that's all about tznius, but sometimes you have to do something in a very pronounced fashion to prove a point. And said Meir Shapiro, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Luchos bipumbi. He gave it in public, even though he knew that it can run the risk of being destroyed, of not having a kiyum, because it's important that to get something going, to get people into it, it was important that that had to be done. Well, so too over here, we assume, said Meir Shapiro, right now we're living in a generation, this is what he said when he built Chachmei Lublin, right now we're living in a generation where things are not so bright for Limud HaTorah. Things are not so bright for us. So he said, right now I had to gather up all of my strength. I had to get everything together to build a beautiful yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. I had to get everyone together to come make a Chanukas HaBayis that's going to knock everyone out. And even though I run the risk of maybe an Ayin Hara is going to be shalit, maybe something's going to go wrong, but it's worth it. Why? Because people have to understand, people have to learn that even though Torah is given Bitsina, even though our hallmark is to live Bitsina, Matova Lacha Yaakov, but still, we assume, said Meir Shapiro, that sometimes in history you have to make sure to go above and beyond, and you have to prove to the world that Torah is Torah, and that the Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNivchar, and that we are different from everybody else. Like the Rav said, Amavda Ben Kodesh Lachol Menor Lachoshech Ben Yisrael Amim, the Havdalah, the difference between the Jewish people and Yisrael Amim is supposed to be like Kodesh Lachol, supposed to be like as stark of a contrast between Kodesh and Chol, between Ar and Choshech. It's supposed to be that great of a difference. So that's the same idea that Rav Meir Shapiro said over here.